flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nah, everybody needs a little more love in this life of ours, especially with all the tragedy and all the stuff we're just talking about. Been a hard week, man. Been a hard week. Joining us right now, as we get back to the NFC Championship game and the future moving forward and the AFC Championship and an early look at the Super Bowl, is our guy Jay Gruden, of course, as you know, the longtime head coach here from 2014 through 2019 and former NFL offensive coordinator on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at tedbritt.com. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chris.
Appreciate you making some time for us, as always. Wow, a lot to unpack, obviously, from yesterday. Where did you first think they were in trouble? Was it the Barkley long touchdown run, or did you think because they got back in it with the Terry slant touchdown that maybe they had, you know, kind of steadied the ship and, all right, maybe it was still got a lot of game to go? Where did you first think, oh, boy, they're in trouble?
Yeah, I think they battled. I actually thought they were still in it, especially when they cut it to 14-12. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of way they've been. They just have never said die. They've been able to come back from deficits before. It's just they could not stop them. And, you know, probably the second fumble, the kickoff return. I think it was the second or third fumble.
Yeah, McNichols, yeah.
McNichols.
Yep. And to your point, right, like I had literally just tweeted in Philadelphia, hey, you know, for all that's gone wrong in this first half, and they made a ton of mistakes, they were down 20 was it 20-12? Yeah, 20-12. And they had the ball with a 1:40 left to go in the first half. For all that's gone wrong, and a lot went wrong, and then no sooner do I say that, he fumbles, and then, of course, they punch it in after the whole Lattimore thing and whatever. And the game rapidly changes.
Yeah, not to mention they had the ball coming out at halftime, too. Yep. So, yeah, that was pretty much the backbreaker, so to speak. But, yeah, it was a tough day. You know, they you know, Philadelphia did what they do. They play very physical brand of football up front, and they handled the line of scrimmage and Saquon and Jalen Hurts made their plays, and then they got A.J. Brown going. So it was a perfect recipe for Philadelphia and one that Washington couldn't stop yesterday.
Do you think they looked like a team that was not prepared physically or mentally, as opposed to what I think it was, and that's just Philadelphia's been together? They don't have a ton of weaknesses. They have questions, but they don't have a ton of weaknesses, and they're strong on really in almost every phase of football.
Yeah, that, and I think Washington uncharacteristically played poorly, especially on defense, missing tackles. A lot of missed tackles, some penalties that cost them, the turnovers. They just, you know, they did what they didn't do in a seven-game winning streak to get to this point. You know, they had some ugly things come up in the game that meant a whole lot that they hadn't been doing in the last 6-7 weeks. So, unfortunately, you know, part of it is Philly took it to them, and the other part is Washington just didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so on that first Saquon touchdown, you know, it looked like Bobby Wagner got shoved down. Dante Fowler didn't set the edge and fell down. Two missed tackles. I mean, is it just as simple as, hey, they also made it more difficult, Philadelphia, by getting Saquon out to the perimeter, which caused some of that? Or is there something else that kind of goes through your mind there?
It was a simple toss crack play that most every team runs. You know, they try to give a little misdirection on the jet sweep, then they pin the defensive end and try to pin the linebacker. Bobby Wagner had a great angle at it. He just took a terrible angle. He went too flat and ran into Dante Fowler, and they both fell down. And then the secondary. We mentioned the secondary before the game. They have to be great tacklers. They have to limit these. You know, if they get 15 yards, fine. You can't give up a 60-yarder.
Yep.
Lo and behold, they gave up a 60-yarder.
Yeah.
You know, the pursuit wasn't quite there. The angles weren't great. The tackling was poor. So, yeah, it was just a bad play to start the day for Washington.
Yeah, it's almost like they weren't listening when I said it. I know I said it a million times. I know you said it. You know, hey, 5-6 yards a pop, okay, that's not ideal, whatever. You'll take that every day and then some, as opposed to a 5 or 6 yard gain that's drawn up, or what should be a 5 or 6 yard gain turning into a 50 or 60 or even worse. And in this case, it was a 60. Jay Gruden with us, again, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, on the first drive, before we go any further and before I forget, DQ goes for it twice on fourth down. They convert. Did you like the fact that they ultimately 17 plays into that bad boy?
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Settle for a field goal, or do you wish they would have gone, you know, for it again for a third time in that spot?
Yeah, that's out of my league, man. These guys went for it twice and got it. Those are two clutch plays to start the game. I was like, man, these guys are off their chain. And then they kicked a field goal, which was a little odd to me. I figured they'd just go ahead and go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't fourth and long either. It was just fourth and two, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was fourth and two, yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure they were going to go for it. But, you know, I think, again, there's something to it. First drive of the game, it's loud, just make sure you come away with points, you know, make your team feel good. To get shut out there and get nothing, I think would have been a little bit more hurtful. Yeah. But they had them backed up. I thought they should have gone for it, but
I had it unofficially at fourth and three. It might have been fourth and 2.5, whatever. I thought the same thing, Jay. Like, I can't kill DQ for going for it, because you're kind of tempting fate, you really want to walk away with points. But in that spot, first of all, I don't trust Zane Gonzalez, and I know he wasn't a problem yesterday, but I don't naturally. And everybody, a 34-yarder, he's got to make that. I was sitting next to Grant in the press box. He's like, wow, if he can't make a 34-yarder, that guy's missed extra points all the time.
all the time.
Yeah, he actually kicked the ball good yesterday. Yeah. You know, the first fourth down, was 4th and 5.
Yes, it was at the 43. Yeah,
that's a chance for Tressway to come in and bang him between, between the 5 and the 2 yard line, get him backed up.
Yep,
they went for that and got it, and then they got the 4th and 2 and got it. So yeah, and shoot, I don't know what sheet they're using as far as when to go for it, when not to go for it, but you got to give them credit because they were very successful all year long, and it got them to this point because of the decisions they made on 4th down.
And I'm with you. On 4th and 5 from the 43, I was surprised that just because of the distance, not because of where it is on the field. As you know, that's kind of no man's land, but, to your point, the distance at 4th and 5 makes it complicated, yet they got it. Ertz beat Zach Bond, and Ertz had a great game, and we'll talk about all that. Wanted to ask you, while we're on 4th downs and you mentioned Tressway, that fake punt, I mean, Tress almost overthrew it. Did you have anything? I don't remember Tress running Tress ran a fake one time, and I want to say it was under you, but it may have been under Ron. I can't remember. Did you have something that Tress was like normally working on in terms of throwing the football, as part of a fake punt? I don't remember one under you if it was, if it was under you. Okay. That's what it was. Yes. Okay. That's what it was. Okay. So that was under you. Okay. Oh, that was right. That was week 3, 0-2, starting, 16 or 17 or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that. But, okay. It was he just threw, a fade or something like that, a dumb bar. It was pretty sweet. We had a couple of those drawn up. We just never got them off the sheet. So, but Trent's a great athlete now. He's an incredible athlete. He's got a good arm. He throws it very well, so he's a good weapon to have. And that was a hell of a throw. I thought he overthrew it, too.
Yeah, how do you measure that when you're a head coach? Because if you think about it, it's 14-3, right? You go 3 and presumably out, right? Your offense is sort of now struggling. Crowd is loud. You're at your 30, Jay. If you don't make that, theoretically, you could give the ball back to a Philadelphia offense, which has carved you up like a hot knife through butter. Ball at the 30, or maybe slightly better than that, or whatever. How do you measure that, when to go for it?
A lot has to do with you have to be backed up in those situations where the team is really playing for a punt return, and they're running out of there. And they obviously had 2 seam balls running down the middle, and they had a good look at the fake that they wanted. And it's kind of hard because if it's 4th and 1, then teams are in safe on defense, so it's a bad time to run a fake. And if it's got to be 4th and a certain distance on a certain part of the field to get the look that you want. That's why fakes don't happen very often, because you hardly ever get the exact situation look that you're going to want to run a fake. But they got it, and it worked out perfectly. It's just hard to call those suckers because you never know what the look you're going
to
get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, so we know Saquon, awesome. Were you surprised based on how he looked with the banged-up knee in the NFC Divisional Playoff, how sharp Jalen Hurts was? I thought his best throw of the game was on 4th and 5 up the left sideline to A.J. Brown perfectly. I mean, you couldn't throw a ball better than that.
Yeah, no, he looked good. I think maybe this injury was a little overhyped or something like that, but he looked fine to me. Moving around the pocket, everything, he threw the ball good. And when he's throwing the ball good, they are a tough team to beat, because we all know about the running game, and they do have good receivers. Devontae didn't do much. He just caught a couple jet sweeps, but A.J. Brown's a monster out there. Obviously Dallas Goedert can hurt you down the field too. So they get that part of the game going. It's a tough team to stop. It'd be a high-scoring game next week or 2 weeks.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels? Because we got into it, a bunch of media people and I, surprised, at halftime. And I said, he's been fine. And some others said he was great or very good. And I said, no. I said, he's been fine. What did you overall make of Jaden Daniels last night?
Yeah, I think he was good for that situation, this point in his career. I mean, I think he played good. He competed. He moved when he had to move. He missed a couple throws, obviously. Cold day. The expectations for him are so high right now. Every play you expect him either to run for 30 or throw a bomb or something spectacular to happen. And I think once he gets a little bit more better help around him, like AK the running game or another good receiver, you're really going to see him flourish. But he's really doing a lot of it on his own. He's trying to do everything on his own. And obviously Terry had the big hit, but he's got to have some help around him. I think he just needs a little more time. But I think he played good. I'd say good, not great.
Okay. That's fair. In the three playoff games, I think he averaged 3.7 a carry, 135 yards, 35 carries, 6 of 48 yesterday, had the long of 19, obviously had the touchdown, the touchdown run, which was great. Do you think that let me ask it. As he evolved here over these three playoff games and obviously 17 regular season games, is he beating teams, or did he beat more teams in this playoff run with his arm or his legs, or is it the threat of his legs that then benefits the arm, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think all the above. I think that's why I was most impressed with him this year, because he has the ability to do both, and he always seemed to make the right decision when to utilize one or the other, either his legs or his arm. He could stay in the pocket and go through his progressions, which he does fine, or he could burst out of the pocket and use his speed and athleticism. It just seemed like he never forced the issue one way or the other. He seemed to make the right decision all the time. Yesterday might have been a little different. There might have been some instances where he should have run or should have hung in there, but for the most part, his decision-making is on point, and he's got a very bright future, no doubt about that. But, yeah, he can hurt you both ways. That's what makes him so good.
On the Austin Eckler fumble, Jay, I mean, he told us after the game, obviously, that he should have stayed down, and it's hard to argue with that. But nobody saw Philadelphia with a clear recovery, at least on the television shots and the video board shots that I got at Lincoln Financial Field. Did you see anything that was conclusive on your side?
I couldn't see any. All I saw was Tyler come up with the ball.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I either thought it was going to be incomplete or right. It was going to be Washington's ball. I didn't think any way it was Philadelphia's ball. That was a weird call. They never even really showed the replay.
Yep.
Where I was.
Yep. Right? So as a head coach, and maybe there is an angle that we didn't get to see, and maybe up in the booth they have a different angle. As a head coach in that spot, I don't know what's being said on the headsets, but like, you know, every turnover is being replayed. Can you call a timeout to extend the window of review there? What can you do so that such a critical moment doesn't go against you when there doesn't seem to be clear evidence?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do, actually, because it is reviewed by upstairs. So that once its final decision is made, they already reviewed it and the call's made. So there's you're kind of – that's just what it is. I just don't understand that call at all. I'm actually see that replay. There's nothing you can do.
No, I don't think anybody understood it, quite honestly. All right, so the next one, which comes right after that, they get all the way down to the 1 yard line, and they continue to do the tush push, which we all know how effective it is. But Bobby Wagner said several times after the game, of course, that he thought they were lined up illegally. I mean, I've seen all sorts of shots. You went against it. You know how effective that is. What was your reading? And did you know that they could, after, I guess, several penalties, Luvu twice over the top, Jonathan Allen on a defensive offside, did you know that they could just award points for just because they felt like it?
I did not know that. That's the first I've ever heard of that rule. I don't know when that would ever come up. But, that was weird. You know, there's also some, you know, the Jonathan Allen offsides, Jalen Hurts bobbed his head all the way down to the ground. That's illegal. You can't do that either. It's especially when you're in that situation, that formation. If the quarterback not bobs his head, he's gone. I mean, that's a false start by the offense. But, yeah, I've never heard of that rule. And it's a very difficult thing to stop, especially when your quarterback squats 650 pounds. You know, so it's damn near impossible.
Jay Gruden is with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. That's a good point. I didn't even think about the head nod and all that. When you look at ultimately how this game played out, does it matter to you that after that they scored that touchdown ultimately and then two more touchdowns and, hey, the final score not as indicative of much of the game? Or is it just, man, we got our ass kicked, you know, and just we got a lot of work to do, as every team does, and that's how you kind of process it?
Yeah, I think no matter how you look at it, it was an ass whooping. You know, it was obviously close for a while, but the turnovers, we all mentioned the penalties, and it was just an uncharacteristic game of the way Washington played, especially in the second half. You know, we mentioned the turnovers, the penalties, the fighting, all that stuff. It just didn't look like a Washington Commander coach team that we watched for 18, 19 games. You know, just I hate the way that it ended like that. You know, with Lattimore fighting and Luvu jumping over the pile six times in a row, just it didn't look like a well – prepared team. I know they were prepared, and Coach Quinn did an outstanding job all season long, but I just hate the way it looked on the way out.
Yeah, no, I agree. You mentioned Lattimore. I forgot to ask about him. He gets torched on that 4th and 5 that I mentioned earlier. Great throw, great route, great catch, everything. Okay, fine, that's going to happen. What did you make out of where he took the personal foul? I thought he kind of instigated it by a shove that had really nothing to do with the play on, again, another tush push at the 1 against A.J. Brown, and then that led to the scuffle between the two and him losing his helmet, getting it ripped off. How did you process all that?
Yeah, just frustration, I think, all the way around with Marshawn. And then A.J. Brown, it was an unnecessary hit A.J. Brown had on Lattimore to start it. But, you know, they just been jawing all game long. Lattimore's got a history of that, obviously, Mike Evans and some other guys throughout the league. So he just got to learn to contain himself because, you know, those penalties will kill you. You know, you just can't have those penalties, and ended up not hurting them because I think Philadelphia went for 2 and didn't
right.
It actually helped.
Right. It actually helped them. Yeah. That's exactly what I said. I said, in a weird way, it helped them. But, you know, a lot of fans are now, you know, and even some media are questioning, do you go forward with Marshawn? And my answer to that is, yes, of course you do. But just be prepared, a high-wire act. And you had Josh Norman here. And I always thought Josh Norman was kind of a high-wire act. Am I wrong on that?
They're very much like very emotional, competitive guys. And sometimes your competitive spirit can get the best of you and hot times and critical times. So, yeah, you just got to try to control it. But you love the competitive spirit. They play their asses off. They compete. They tackle. They do everything you want. They just got to contain themselves in some of those iffy situations.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll leave the Commanders and the Eagles there. I wanted to ask you about the AFC Championship. Another really just, I don't know, galling, you know, kind of loss for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. We all know about Kansas City. What did you make out of that wild 4th down play where Josh is running for his life? He gets belted as he's throwing. Dawson Knox got to come up with that. I know it's not easy, but he got to come up with it. It's not Mark Andrews, but I mean, he's got to come up with that. Help your quarterback out, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it was a great call by Spags. I think he brought the corner pressure first time all game, of course. And Josh did an unbelievable job just getting that thing away. I think it was Kincaid.
Kincaid, not Dawson Knox.
Yeah, I think he does need to come up with that, man. But it was a tough catch. He was running one way, had to stick his foot in the ground, come back to the ball. It was high in the air, it was kind of floating. It wasn't an easy catch, but yeah, Dalton Kincaid has made tougher catches, but damn, that's a tough way to lose.
Yeah. Early look at Super Bowl 59, Kansas City and Philadelphia rematch. Which way are you early leaning here?
I'm early leaning towards Kansas City still, but not very far of a lean there, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia's defense is playing pretty damn good, and Saquon, obviously, it's the difference between a couple years ago is the addition of Zach Bond and obviously Saquon Barkley, the two rookie corners, DeShean and Quinyon Mitchell. I think Howie Roseman's done an unbelievable job of addressing some needs in the draft and free agency, so they're a much better football team than they were a couple years ago. But you still got to take down the King, and the King just does not lose in big games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Your thoughts there, pretty much. And Philadelphia really needs this bye. My God, are they banged up? They really need this bye. So it's extra week of preparation. All right, before we let you get out of here, the Dallas Cowboys made an interesting hire at head coach, Jay. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was on staff. I don't remember the last time he's called a play. Was it with the Jets? I can't remember. Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I thought they might go Deion Sanders or somebody a little more Cowboy related, but you know, Jerry Jones has his way of doing things, and I don't understand it where these guys are getting hired and interviewed and all that stuff. But NFL's a weird league. I'll tell you that right now, Chris.
It is a weird league. There's no doubt about that. I knew of his dad. I mean, obviously he's bounced around Brian Schottenheimer. Jerry is known for not wanting to spend a lot of money on coaches. So ultimately maybe that's it, as opposed to the kind of money and resources that it would have taken. Not to mention control and power. He didn't have to give up control and power to Schottenheimer. He would, to some degree, to Deion or somebody with a big time profile.
Yeah, he's got to give it up eventually. He can't. I mean, he's got to let his people that he hires do the job.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a general manager. He's got to let them do the job. He's got a director of college scouting and pro personnel. He's got a head coach. He's got offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, some of the best jobs you do is hiring people, letting them do the job for you.
So
eventually he's got to do that, I think.
Last one for you, and then we'll spring you loose. I don't know if you read it, but over the weekend there was an ESPN Dan Snyder piece. He's devastated. He's pissed off. He's this. He's that. You worked for the man for 5+ years. I know that wasn't easy. I don't know if you saw the article. If so, like the man that you knew, like, could you see that that he's upset that this happened under Josh Harris's watch as opposed to his?
I would imagine 100% yes. Yes. The one thing he was a fanboy of the team. He was a fan before he bought it. He was a fan. He really wanted it to do well. He just didn't know how to do it and had to sell it. And now they're doing well. I'm sure he's miserable. That's too bad.
That was a lot of fun, though.
So sad. So sad. Yeah, still devastated for old Dan. $8 billion on his little boat. God.
I love you, Jay. I love you. Thank you, as always. Appreciate you.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
I'll talk to you next week. That is Jay Gruden. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. I needed that laugh. We got to make sure pal Lou DiPietro gets that, because, boy, was that funny. I hope I didn't totally smash it by laughing, but it was so freaking funny that I couldn't stop laughing.
It'll be on the highlights page in about 5 minutes.
Attaboy, Max. Thank you. All right, back to your calls as soon as we can on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.